Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Donald Wynn and Renee Pratt, authors of the IBM Center Report, Making Open Innovation Ecosystems Work, Case Studies in Healthcare. So in this segment, I'd like to talk about, as I mentioned earlier and you pointed out, you have two case studies to illustrate the purpose of your report. And I'd like to touch on the first one, which is the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs and the Open Source Electronic Health Record Alliance. So could you give us some background and context as to the case study? What is VISTA and what is the Open Source Electronic Health Record Alliance? And maybe give us an overview of the VISTA ecosystem.
Sure. Back in the late 70s, there were a number of facilities that had software within the various VA hospitals. It was very much a mini computer mainframe type environment, but a lot of the things that they were developing weren't necessarily being shared amongst everyone. They would have individual developers working on certain pieces, but somehow word began to trickle out that, you know, so-and-so in this department had developed, or this site had developed a piece of software that managed clinical processes, or they had done something else in another facility. So they started to combine them. And they were starting to see some real traction and get some benefit out of those. But the leadership decided that they didn't necessarily want everyone spending their time to work on that. Sort of done under wraps for a while by a group of people that called themselves the Hard Hats. So what had happened in 1982, a lot of these applications were integrated into something called the DHCP, or the Decentralized Hospital Computer Program Platform. And in 1996, this evolved into VISTA. So long story combined, they had a number of enhancements that they combined into one integrated patient record. It was one EHR, and it's still in use to this day. And it's been touted as being one of the most well-designed, well-integrated electronic health records applications anywhere. But it's a little dated in some spots. It doesn't necessarily have a lot of the bells and whistles that a lot of the newer ones have had. So the VA decided that they really wanted to try to modernize it. But again, looking outside the VA, you could see that there were a number of these things that had already been done. One thing about VISTA, which is what the software became, one of the things that happened with it is that the core software, being taxpayer funded, was available for free. So you could go and get a version of it stripped down to some things that would be proprietary to the VA. Anyone can go get a copy. Any one of us can go and download a copy of the software to this day. And there were a number of companies that were downloading the software and modifying it for deployment in private hospitals and other facilities. So the VA decided we should be able to work with some of these things to push back into ours. But there were some challenges with the interfacing and how to deal with a lot of that. So they came up with a plan to include to develop a new organization or a custodial agent, which was a central body to manage most of the open source activities for this VISTA code. And that was the OSERA, or Open Source Electronic Health Records Alliance. And they do things such as accepting code, rejecting code. They initiate projects, and they try to facilitate the flow of a lot of these ideas and a lot of the source code between the vendors and between the VA and anyone that happens to be connected with that. So that's a little bit of the background. At this point, what we see is that VISTA as an ecosystem includes several pieces, not just the VA, which is the dominant party, of course, but we also have a number of other government agencies, like the Indian Health Service deploys a version of this software. There's several agencies that do. There's a number of governments in other countries that use various versions of the software, like Jordan has a version that they're using. In addition, there's a number of private facilities, private vendors such as MedSphere and DSS, that actually use versions of VISTA that they've adapted and added modules on top of for their clients. So this is it's a pretty robust ecosystem at this point, in that we have a lot of people, not just the folks at the VA, but we have people in other agencies, other organizations that are actively involved in trying to improve the VISTA code and make it do things that it wasn't necessarily originally designed to do.
Yeah. So in your report for the center, you evaluate the VISTA ecosystem based on the five key elements we discussed earlier. Would you give us an overview of this evaluation and some of the key findings drawn from it?
Well, one of the things that we do, we will be well served to go ahead and look at just the individual ones. So if we look at resources, there's a lot of resources that were available, as we said, within this VISTA ecosystem. The VA has approximately 1,300 developers that are VA employed or contracted just to work on the VA code. they have a tremendous amount of expertise and a lot of things that they know about this VISTA code. But there's also a large number of people that are outside the agency. Some used to be part of the VA. Now they work for various government agencies or various state organizations. They work for a number of places, and they continue to work on it as well. And they are building implementations for it on a daily basis. So that's one set of resources. There's obviously some funding issues because the OSERA has, you know, has to have funding to survive. And I think the VA put up a certain amount for that. DSS has spent approximately $6 million to develop a number of enhancements to their version of the software, VX Vista. And a number of other organizations have done a lot of things. We've combined quite a few resources into this ecosystem, and those continue to be put in even to this day.
Yeah, no, so the what about the participants? What were their characteristics? What were some of the how did you evaluate the characteristics of the participants?
Yeah, and as we said, there's a lot of different organizations that contribute to that, and it's a lot of developers. But we'll also find that it's not just developers, but we have a number of other private vendors. There's a number of independent consultants that work on things. There are some people in other countries that do things such as just customizing for language, or they do a number of other things associated with the software as well. There's a number of pieces and parts that are slowly added on that they've included for that. We've talked about the various government agencies. We've talked about commercial entities like World Vista and DSS and MedSphere. There's a number of things that they do, and there's also a number of officials within the VA who are just responsible for promoting it. They do a lot of good stuff with that. So they not only participate, but there's a certain level of involvement, and it varies based on what each agency may want to do. We have a number of individual hospitals. Even there's a hospital out in California, Oroville, that's been responsible for putting a number of the innovations and enhancements that they've put into their version of the VISTA software, their implementation. They put those back into the open source domain so others can use that in other sites as well. And it just depends a lot on what their level of involvement, their commitment is. I mean, different organizations have done different things. Some people use the software and that's it. Then a number of people are very active in contributing back. So it varies, but we have people that do that in quite a wide range of organizations and individuals.
And what about, I mean, you assessed the relationship among members. Can you give us insights into that?
Yeah, and one of the good things about open innovation and open source in general is that it really thrives on having a certain degree of trust, certain degree of collaboration. And they do a very, they being VISTA members, do a very good job of doing that. They contribute very freely. Now, there's obviously a number of issues involved in that because when you think about it, the private organizations like MedSphere and VISTA were responsible for taking this version of the software and customizing it for their own commercial use. So what incentive do they have to contribute things back? So there's a little bit of uncertainty at one point, but I think a lot of this is starting to get ironed out. So there's still a certain degree of trust involved in it, but the relationships are getting stronger. I mean, it's a pretty radical plan to say that we're going to take your commercial product and we're going to open source it so not only can people within the VA use it, but your competitors will have access to some of the same stuff. So it's not necessarily the same model that they were used to. So this is a pretty dramatic learning curve. So they're getting there. They're getting a lot of this. And so the commitment and some of the conflict resolution, which a lot of that is under the auspices of OSERA. So there is some learning that has to be done on all parties, but they're working their way through that. So the relationships are pretty good at this point, is what it seems.
But you guys make a great point that this the ecosystem, the open invitation, and the technological ecosystem doesn't happen in a vacuum, and you know you have to be aware of the environment in which you're operating in. What are some of the most significant environmental issues facing the VA ecosystem, the VISTA ecosystem?
Yeah, well, one of the biggest issues obviously is just what you would normally expect out of working with a large government agency. The VA is very policy-driven. Some would say bureaucratic. They have rules and structures for how things have to be done, and that introduces a number of things that others have to work with. If you're trying to get a piece of software that's input into the VA, for instance, there are a number of rules which the VA has to follow for trying to put the software in. And it's just a matter of time. It's just one of those things that it happens, it'll happen over time, but you have to be patient enough to watch some of those go through. But that's just part of the environment that you're working in. Other things happen, such as I'm sure you remember the VA had some some issues back several months ago about scheduling issues. Yeah, so a lot of that falls in as well. You have to be cognizant of the fact that a number of these changes are, in fact, possibly going to impact some of the things that you might do within the integration of the Vista code as well. So there are just a number of things that happen outside that are part of it. And again, you can't change them necessarily, but you certainly have to learn how to work with them and work around them. And there, again, learning is part of it. And that's one of the things I think that OSERA is having to learn to do, and the VA is learning, and the vendors and everyone else is learning how, when we contribute things, what do we get out of it, and what's the impact of all of these other policy issues and the rules and regulations that we have to deal with.
So, Renee, I'd like to discuss the second case study you did for your IBM Center report on West Virginia's Department of Health and Human Resources joining an open innovation ecosystem. Could you give us some background and context as to this case study? More particularly, what are the objectives of its Bureau for Behavioral Health and Health Facilities? Why did they go in this direction?
Right. So, you know, just kind of a quick little background about who they are and, and what they do. They have seven facilities in which, you know, which cover between acute care for state operated acute care hospital, acute care psychiatric hospitals, and long term care facilities. And so they are really trying to make sure that they address several issues from outpatient clinics to emergency care to ancillary services. So they're really providing quite a bit for the community that's there. You know, they're a fairly large facility with over 800 beds and a number of thousands of employees. So what they're really their objective was to how do they improve their efficiency and effectiveness? And so in particular, can they automate some of the services that they're currently providing? So improving their automation, defining and implementing standardized processes. And then overall, just kind of figuring out a way to centralize and create more common and unified healthcare system across the scale. So these were their objectives, and how they were going to move forward with this was going to be very critical to them and how they leverage technology to allow them to improve upon these efficiencies and effectiveness.
So would you give us an overview of your evaluation of the West Virginia case study based on those five key elements we've identified and discussed earlier? And what findings have you drawn from this evaluation?
So we'll go ahead and start with resources. And in resources in particular, what they're the goal here is that we want to expand and assist individuals. So we want to make sure that they have all the financial resources that they need. And what's interesting about open innovation is that you don't need a lot of resources in order to start. So it can be a relatively low hurdle many times. In this case, actually in West Virginia, they actually went ahead and they had substantial resources that they wanted to implement. And part of this was due to changing of infrastructure, making sure they had all the policies and procedures in place that they needed in order to move forward. So for in their case, they actually had a lot to bring to the table, but it's not always necessary.
What were some of the hurdles they faced?
So some of the hurdles in particular were definitely one, financial. When you start to look at a system like an EHR, especially in even in an open EHR format, you have a situation of funding. So this is quite an expensive venture, especially when you go in a commercial market. And so first, looking at a commercial market, the amount of money that they would have to spend, they just really as a government agency and as a organization that needs to pay attention to financial needs, this was not something that was going to be an easy process. The current system in place was a bit dated. It definitely needed a more robust system in place in order to provide electronic sharing and more of a unified healthcare system. So that was going to be necessary for them as well. And so this is what they did was they actually found that looking into open source systems was actually going to be a more preferred option over the commercial or proprietary formats that are available.
Yeah, and so they joined this open innovation ecosystem. But what were some of the beneficial characteristics of the ecosystem members they were dealing with?
So some of their benefits was they really took to getting to know each other. They did a very good job of interacting with MedSphere and the open source community and trying to share. And so they did things where they actually got to know each other, spent time at each other's homes from time to time.
Wow, really?
They established local bonds, which was really important. They understood that they needed to share the roles and what they did. So for example, MedSphere provided much of the training that was delivered to the staff, as well as the staff provided information for MedSphere, and while they worked with other outside members to get the process going and moving forward. So that was really critical for them. They also had formed committees that were designed to formalize the interactions between the hospitals and their remainder of the ecosystem. So again, if you're thinking about this as seven hospitals that are having to work and facilitate each other, so they have to really open up and share communication.
So how would you assess the relationship among members in the ecosystem? And to what extent is a key attribute of the ecosystem active engagement? What did you folks mean by active engagement?
So when we talked about active engagement, we really talked about how do they complement each other. So in particular, a complement of MedSphere and West Virginia and the state were that they incorporated a communication plan. So they actively decided that we know we need to share a certain amount of information. We need to be able to talk with each other regularly. We need to feel comfortable and in an environment in which we would encourage strategic and tactical information being shared. And so many times when we see organizations and they are having to communicate beyond their internal walls and externally, a lot of times it becomes a problem to share information. There is a concern that maybe this information is essential to our growth. And by no means are we suggesting that you should share information that creates a competitive advantage, but you should be sharing information that's going to allow you both to grow strategically and tactically in the process.
Mm-hmm. And much like the VA case study, you assess the external environment for the West Virginia case study. What was that like?
So it was fairly interesting. In this case, I would honestly say, again, when you're dealing with policies, as Donald had mentioned earlier, some forms of bureaucracy, there can be opportunities where individuals may not perceive sharing of information and contributions to having to retain information to be very positive. And so many times you'll see that the employees and other individuals will feel as though the organization may not appreciate them because they are requesting them to kind of hold back and not share and don't adopt viable solutions for that community to actually communicate back and forth. And so I think that's one of the key things is that really understanding how those policies and regulations share and use information within the external environment is critical to the success of the open innovation.
What are some of the best practices for seeking to capitalize on open innovation? We will explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.